Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very pleased to be able to come to you, as we usually do every Saturday night at this time, live and in living color. This is, of course, one of the official radio broadcasts for the historic Million Woman March and, of course, now Universal Movement. And with that said, October, we will celebrate and observe and commemorate not only the 16th year anniversary of the continued work and successes and so forth that we have been able to move forward with in terms of the Million Woman Movement, but also we're going to, of course, pay tribute to just the greatness and the beauty of African women from antiquity to present day. I want to tell you more about that as we proceed tonight, and I want to also let you know that the chat room will be opening up in about 10 minutes or so. For tonight, we're going to have on our live line two sisters that, interestingly enough, Dr. Randy Short always brings us powerful information and, of course, introduces us to wonderful, wonderful people. And, you know, we're so thankful. So very shortly on our live line, we're going to talk to two sisters tonight. One is a sister who, well, both of them actually are sisters who have lost sons, lost in terms of them being murdered, one being hung and the other just being shot down by New York police. As we proceed in going into October, we are preparing to present cases to the Justice Department because not only do we charge genocide, as eugenics has, of course, matriculated through the U.S. for quite some time, but certainly in contemporary times, but also we charge genocide because of our people, of our African people, who, of course, have been continuously murdered, raped, hung, castrated, and so forth for several hundred years now. And so the children of these ancestors are now saying, we're coming for you, and we're going to tell this story all over the world. We're going to talk about that and then some tonight for this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. We'll be right back. Listening to this New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and this is, of course, our regular radio broadcast that we have been doing now for 5 years plus, going into our sixth year. And we certainly look forward to continuing the work that we're doing and the growth and development that has certainly come about. I want to remind you that on October 25th, we will be at the Justice Department. We will be at the Justice Department providing Eric Holder and his crew with petitions, with letters of complaint, with preliminary briefs, because it is time to take our issues, our concerns, beyond the courts here in the so-called United States. We need to make certain that the rest of the world really hears clearly what we're saying. And so we're preparing to take our issue into international courts, and this is the first step in doing that. October 25th at the Justice Department, 12 o'clock noon, high noon if we may, so that we can begin to let our people know nationwide that we are very, very serious about upholding the honor, upholding the integrity, upholding our rights, and certainly self-determination, and that we must have ma'at, meaning justice. So again, October 25th, for those who want to get involved, we certainly invite you to do so. We would like to have letters of endorsement from the various groups and organizations who wish to support. And we also need coordinators to assist in getting this information circulated nationwide, because this is also the anniversary celebration of the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever. And we're going to show those who might have thought it was just some kind of event for the day, well, you're going to see it was never designed to be that. It was always designed to be a global movement, and now we're bringing that global movement forward. And on October 25th and October 26th, we will be announcing that we're taking the Million Woman March not only to Africa, but also to the Caribbean location. We'll be telling you more about that very soon as well. These next 5 years, we'll establish the Million Woman Movement worldwide, and not only in terms of having events, but we have major plans to build several facilities. And again, we'll be telling you more about that as we proceed. But we want to also remind you that tonight we are, of course, paying tribute, saluting what is known as Black August. And for those who are not familiar with Black August, we're going to share some of that with you, because it's so important that we make certain we put the concern, the plight, the reality of our political prisoners. We talk about political prisoners from other countries. You hear a lot of dialogue about that from various social justice or social activist groups or persons. But what about our political prisoners right here? Those, especially during the 60s and 70s, spoke out very clearly about the injustices here in the U.S. and represented African people in those types of ways, making certain information was circulated and if actions were being taken. And many of our people died, Fred Hampton, so many others, but yet there are others who were in fact incarcerated, set up, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to make sure that this month we're going to highlight as many of our political prisoners as we can so that you are familiar with who they are. We're going to be giving you their mailing address so you can forward different cards and salutations and so forth, because a people who do not do right by those who took the chances or stood out and made certain that our voices were heard, those who do not return that in some way, really are not worthy of it. And so we must make sure that we keep the information flowing. Let's see, I believe we're almost ready to go to our live line. Again, we're going to open up a chat room probably in about 5 minutes now. But before we hear from our first guest for tonight, and I believe that's going to be Sister, Denise Chavis. I'm sorry, Danette Chavis. And this sister is the sister that I got a chance to speak with a few days ago as well as today. And again, what we're doing is compiling information, compiling data in regards to police and governmental terrorism, in regards to eugenics, in regards to anything that is relevant to the outright racist, white supremacy applications that this government has either directly participated in or set back and let happen. We're going to make these cases primary now, and we're going to share this information with the rest of the world in terms of the press as well as other governments. We're going to tell you more about that shortly as well. But while we're waiting for Sister Danette to call in, what we're going to do is I think we have Dr. Randy Short standing by. And, you know, we love to have our brother joining us because he always sets these airwaves on fire. And some of us need some fire underneath our behinds. Some of you don't because you're already doing what you know you need to be doing, but self-folk is just, So we got something for that, too. But anyway, let's check and see. I think we have Dr. Randy Short joining us. Just want to check to make sure. Brother Randy, do we have you on the line?
Hotep.
Thank you, sister, for this. Thank you. lift up. Thank you for lifting up these two sisters that I've met along the way, and just they're the ones on the East Coast, ones on the West Coast.
Right.
Same racist system, same garbage, same black neck, fake politicians, a National Association for the Abortion of Colored People, betraying them. What's his name? Not Reverend. He should be called Philanderer. Albert Charlatan. All these sisters, both of them have found practically no help from nobody. And they've been out there active, helping other people's struggles, as well as trying to figure out where the hell is everybody when you bring a child into this life, into this world, and their lives are senselessly taken, and people treat the surviving mother who went through the birth pains. I've seen a woman have a baby. It almost killed me. Someone had to hold me down because I was going to run. I was scared. For a woman to go through birth pains and then have her child taken from her by either so-called good, responsible white people from good families, the same way it was good family boys that raped that girl down in North Carolina. Remember we were talking about that? I don't care what kind of dancer she was. They should have tipped her and kept their hands off. And
that's
the same
right.
thing. So, these folks took Mrs. Johnson's son. They took Dr. Johnson's daughter. And then some cop shoots. And I know I've been talking to Chavis. By the way, she looks just like Betty Shabazz. She's a good sister, good black woman. And to have your son shot down like a dog and denied medical care. I saw that happen when I was about 13, 14, they killed a black man and let him bleed to death on the street that I lived on. And they do this. For a mother, a good person who helps people, who loves people, to have this happen. And then there's really no support system. And I wonder, are black people barbarians? What's our problem? What, I have an ancestor. My great-great uncle could almost pass for white, but didn't. He used to go and cut the black men out of trees down in Rocky Mount and Wilson, North Carolina. He was, my family's involved in Underground Railroad, and he used to try to help people down there. This is almost 100 years ago, okay? What happened to
us? I hear you.
Used to give a funeral or help someone when you were surrounded by crackers in honor of Trayvon's sister. I say cracker and low salt too.
That's right.
Low salt crackers surrounding and killing and terrorizing our people, and yet folks stuck together. My great aunt smuggled my grandfather out of Rocky Mount after he shot the sheriff's son. She sure did. She got some brother to put him in a box and sent him up to Norfolk. We used to help each other. And it I'm so glad you have him on, because it has grieved my spirit to see these fine black women. By the way, Dr. Johnson's, not doctor, but this sister's a reverend. Her son was a reverend. Good man up to go and do something for the world. I know from Chavis, her son was going to do something for the world, and they're gone. They're asking, where are some of the good black men? Some of them get killed before they get started. And you know what? We let it go on because we don't say like Jews. I got some Jew in me. That's why I'm a little tricky and dishonest, but to good effect to free my people. Amen? And the Jew in me says enough is enough, you know? Maybe my yarmulke's red, black, and green. But when do we say we're tired of the crap? Enough is enough. I mean, I get calls. You know, here we are in our homes. I was sharing with Sister Johnson that, you know, if she sends you an email and maybe didn't, I said, you know, sometimes it's one or two people trying to help hundreds. And don't
that's
you
right.
wonder, speak to me, Sister Empress, you're doing all of this. Don't the other people feel the pain, feel the cry, feel the weight of their people being wiped out? Where the hell is, where's the love? What's going on? Stop asking white folks what's going on. Negroes, what's up with us? What's up? What happened? I didn't know Chavis, but I hear about what happened to this woman. It moved me. I don't know Johnson. It bothers me to happen to anybody. I don't give a damn. I don't care if they had some weed. Like I said, I don't care if the girl's a stripper. Get your hands off my black woman. Make me want to go out and kill somebody. And I'm a nonviolent Christian, I think. Until you put your hand on a sister. Now, I feel crazy. The men in my family are notorious for being laid-back people. Until you bother, if you bother my mother, I don't know what I do to you. Don't make me find out who I don't want to know I am. As a black man, I'm speaking to your audience. Can I say something? Because I'm going to set some Negroes off. I am so sick and tired of black men thinking that if they have a penis and they poke it in a woman, it makes them a man. That's only a part of it. In fact, it's a real small part of you, and it's a real small part of being a black man. Black manhood should be the non-negotiable defense of our women and children if it kills us. Or else what the hell good is it being a black man? You know, it disgusts me that Miss Chavis and Sister Johnson have had to do this stuff many times by themselves. Now, you mean we're only for our women when we can get on top of them? And when they go through losing a child, they're by themselves. Where's all this attitude and toughness and strength in black men when it comes to, if need be, fighting to the death to protect our families and communities? I don't have a problem with you Negroes in gangs, but I have a problem that you don't know how to shoot, you don't shoot the right people, and if you're so down for a gunfight, why can't some of the racist cops that do stuff like what happened to Chavis' son, why can't you be suicidal and take out one of them? Make it count versus shooting somebody's kid, three-year-old in the head of the playground because you're mad at somebody because your butt's sagging and they look too, you look like a faggot. That's why they were looking at you. Pull your damn pants up. You know what I'm saying? I'm so tired of this black manhood that's so this, it's so bad, it's so strong. I just love black women, except for when they need me to stand up to the white man. I mean, and I'm going to say one last thing. I see these black men every summer standing tall. Oh, yes, I'm going to say it. Black Gay Pride Day in Atlanta and D.C. and Seattle and New York. They'll fight for anal sex. And there's no comparable movement among straight black men to protect our women and babies. Somebody's a damn liar. We need an army. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? This is so interesting because another brother has said that too. So we're going to really talk about that very soon. But I think we have Sister Chavis waiting for us, and I want to bring her in now, Brother Andy. We're going
to
bring
set
in.
It off in here.
All right, well, we're going to bring in Sister Danette Chavis. And again, this sister is going to talk with you about, of course, the murder of her son by New York police. We're going to also talk about what we phrase as governmental terrorism, police and governmental terrorism. Some call it police brutality, but we've raised the notch up a little bit because people here in this country run around talking about terrorism when it comes to, you know, Al-Qaeda or something. But what about the people right here within the so-called U.S.? What acts are they committing? And so, of course, we've declared that that, too, is terrorism. So we're going to bring in Sister Danette, and we're going to have her to talk to us about the murder of her son, also the work that she has continued to obtain justice and to help others to be more aware and certainly to help prevent this from happening to others. So what we're going to do now is bring in Sister Danette Chavis. And again, we're going to talk about yet another black man who was murdered by the hands of our local armies, known as the police. Moving right along, we're going to open up this mic now. Sister Danette, do we have you?
Yes, good evening, good evening.
Greetings to you, greetings to you. And, of course, we have Dr. Randy Short joining us.
All right. Good evening.
So, my sister, yes, please, by all means, the mic is yours. Please share with our family. And again, so that, let me reiterate, the folks that tend to tune into our radio program, this is our family. We call them our family. Many of them are already activists. Many of them are very interested in issues that are relevant to the African/black communities, and they're proactive oriented. So by all means, please feel free to share with them, with us, what has happened to you and your family.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. I was listening a little while earlier and how you had termed it police terrorism. You know, we're accustomed to calling it police brutality, but police terrorism is a more proper title for what is actually occurring, not just here in New York City where I am, but across the United States. You see situation after situation of what can be termed in no other way except to call it police terrorism, because that, in fact, is what it is. I started my fight against this back in 2004 when I lost my own son at the age of 19 years of age at the hands of NYPD. My son's murder was twofold in that he was initially shot by what they call black-on-black crime. He was an innocent victim to a bullet intended for someone else. And when he got shot, he happened to be one block across the street from the hospital, and his friends were attempting to take him there when NYPD pulled up, withdrew their gun, and demanded that they put him down upon threat of being shot themselves. So after arguing back and forth about he's hurt, we want to take him right there to the hospital, they conceded, and they were placed in a patrol car. My son lay there on the curb. And as people gathered, fussing and cussing, wanting to know where the ambulance, they called for more backup police, but never an ambulance. And as a result, my son died on the curb across the street from the hospital. And the medical examiner's report determined he had every probable chance of survival had he gotten the medical attention that was needed. So NYPD, in fact, caused my son's death, although the initial injury was caused by a stray bullet from an illegal handgun. I live in a city where there is a strong fight for stops and frisks in the name of preventing crime, in the name of stopping what is known as black-on-black crime in our community. And I will be the first to say that those policies do nothing in no form or fashion to either curb crime or end crime. And my son's death is a classic example of that, because during that time, our communities were being flooded with police in the name of protecting and serving us. And while my son was an innocent victim to an illegal handgun, he was neither protected nor was he served by NYPD, who did nothing to help him get the medical treatment that was needed. As a result of that, a lawsuit was filed, because there is a law that once you come into the custody, so to speak, of police, they are required to get you any medical attention that is necessary. And when they removed his friends and placed them in a patrol car and took authority over the scene, they were then required to get my son medical attention, which they did not do, and as a result, he died. For 7 years, since 2004, we have been going back and forth with this lawsuit, with them claiming they did everything that they were supposed to do and could do, with them being ordered to present the evidence in court, with them saying we can't because the case is still under investigation. And one of their own officers testified there is no investigation going on concerning the case. The case is closed. To them saying, well, we lost our investigative file. So then when the attorneys tried to preclude them from making any kind of testimony one way or another, since you lost your investigative file, we shouldn't believe anything you have to say. Then they decided, oh, well, we found our investigative file. For 7 years, back and forth, through adjournments and postponements, the judge finally said, enough of this, and ordered us to trial. In January of 2012, jury selection was to start, but the city put forth another appeal, and the case got holed up once again. And it went before a judge of appellate judges, and this time they ruled in favor of the city. And my case was dismissed in its entirety. And the irony about this is that from we went from 7 years back and forth, postponements and adjournments, to finally being ordered to trial, you know, and every request that the city had made to have the case dismissed was overruled. The judge sustained it, said it had merit. But in March 24th, when I initiated my petition demanding national action against police brutality, 1 week afterwards, my case was thrown out in its entirety. Maybe I'm being paranoid and thinking that one thing has something to do with the other. I will never know. But that is what happened. And from that time to this, I have been pushing and am still insisting in national action against police brutality, because from 2004 up to the present, I have seen family after family, murder after murder, go through a process that doesn't yield justice. Mothers are made to get out in the street and beg and plead for justice, and nothing is done to these officers that even resemble justice. And it's to the degree now where we are fighting one case and demanding justice, several other cases are mounting up, most of which we will never even hear about. So I've come to the conclusion, enough of this nonsense. We need to deal with this issue at the top, because we've been focusing down in the valley. We've been arguing with police officers and commissioners and officials within the police department who are carrying directives that stem from the top, okay? And this is why there is no action being taken against these police officers in these precincts. They are allowed to kill with impunity, and they know it, okay? Here in New York City, we have two cases in particular. One concerning 16-year-old Kamani Gray, who was fired upon 11 times, okay, hit 7 times, while saying, okay, stop, don't shoot me anymore. They killed this young man, okay, and police claimed that he had a gun. The weapon, people in the area say that he never had any weapon, that they killed this young man in cold blood. But those detectives are still working for NYPD as undercover officers, and between them both, they have had 5 lawsuits filed against them for excessive force, falsely planting evidence on their victims, and the city has paid out to their victims and allowed them to still work on the police force. So why should we believe any claim that they have concerning this young man having a weapon? But they still work there, okay? If you go 10 blocks south from where that situation happened, you will deal with Chantel Davis, who was a 23-year-old who was driving in the car, being chased by, again, an undercover detective, whose car crashed into a pole. The detective ordered her out of the car, and witnesses say because she didn't get out fast enough, he shot her and dragged her out the car. Okay, mm-hmm. He claims it was an accident, that he was trying to, you know, reverse the car or do something, you know, with the stick shift. But that young woman is dead, okay? And this mm-hmm. undercover detective had 6 lawsuits filed against him, 4 of which the city paid to his victims, and he was still allowed to work on the job, and in that capacity is when he murdered Chantel Davis. These officers are from one same precinct in the Flatbush area of Brooklyn. And this is how bad the situation is, where they are allowing known police officers who have an established history of excessive force, brutalizing people, planting false evidence on people. It means nothing. For years, they have ran us around in circles trying to collect evidence to prove that they did what we know that they did, okay? They don't give mm-hmm. a damn about mm-hmm. the evidence. They know what their officers are doing. They want their officers to do those things. They promote and commend them when they do these things. So I'm at the point where let's stop playing games. We need to raise the bar and go up top, because why mm-hmm. should this government sit up there and pretend ignorance to the slaughter of black and brown people across the United States, the wrongful incarcerations of thousands of people across the United States, and still be allowed to make claims of being a land of liberty and justice and freedom for all, when our liberty of our young black men are being taken away? And there is no justice for mothers in the street crying because of a police officer who murdered their child. So I'm saying that we need to call them out on those bogus claims and tell them either put up or shut up. Okay, I'm tired of every year memorial services and honoring men who go to war to protect and preserve our rights. We don't have none. So who do those rights pertain to? Certainly not us. And on top of it, we have a black man in the White House who pretends that we have nothing to do with it whatsoever. We don't even exist. How the hell could you ascend to the highest office of the land, the presidency, be applauded around the world before you even did one damn thing? All of the accolades was because you are black. And now that you're in there, you ain't act like black ain't got nothing to do with it? I don't think so. I don't think all of that needs to be addressed. And this issue concerning the slaughter of people across the United States, people in particular, people of color, needs to be put to the forefront of the nation where it can no longer be ignored. Why should we be ignored? Why should we be content to have a march and a protest and go to some damn precinct somewhere and ask them for what they have no intentions on giving us, which is justice? Okay, enough is enough. We say it, but I don't think we really mean it, because we seem content to do the same thing over and over than it was in the first damn place. So that is what my petition is about. It is a demand for national action against police brutality. It is a demand that Eric Holder, who is the United States Attorney General, who is the chief law enforcer over the United States, who has a legal responsibility to address and correct issues of law enforcement where the law has gone run amok, okay? It has not been obeyed. It has not been followed. And we have clear-cut cases of that across the United States for which nobody has taken any action against. Therefore, the bulk of it falls on the U.S. Attorney General's head because he is the chief law enforcer. If your little underlings underneath you are not doing the job that they're supposed to, hello, your move. Okay,
This
petition is sent to call him out and make him act. Okay, do something. Make some moves. Because if the President of the United States can get on national TV and shed tears for 24 white babies who was killed in Connecticut, then goddamn it, what is due to thousands of black and brown people who have been killed? What is due to thousands and thousands of black people who are still in jail? Not that you don't have evidence that they don't belong there. Not that you don't know that they was incarcerated disproportionately underneath the law, but you pretend that it ain't what it is. And I'm saying, let's not allow them to pretend any longer. Call them out on the claims that they've been making and make them put up or shut up concerning it. That's what my petition is about.
All right.
And I want
people to sign it, okay? Because if it ain't signed, it's just a handful of people saying something, and a handful of people ain't getting nothing. Not with the depth and the breadth and the width of this problem that's going on here with law enforcement. Whatever you think it is, it's deeper than that. Okay, it's embedded in the very fabric of this country. Okay, it requires that kind of action, national action. Anything less than that, it's not happening. There's too much money invested in it. There's people, legacy, and heritage invested in it. I'm talking about a heritage of white supremacy that they plan on staying here off of our backs. There's a lot that they've invested in keeping it this way. That's why they're willing to spend millions and millions to incarcerate us as opposed to educate us. Okay? They're looking out for their own, the legacy of their white supremacy to continue. That's why they don't spend the money where it could benefit us, don't expect them to. They're not going to do it. But we will address those claims that they have made because people who in ignorance have believed those claims. People have sent their children off to die in wars to sustain those claims. So let's pull the covers off the BS. Let's expose it for what it is, because that's the only way that people are going to be snapped out of their illusion of inclusion in this country, is to find out what it really is, not what they told you, not even what they're showing you, because even that's a lie, but what it really is. And that's what this petition is about.
All right, all right. Well, all I can say to that, sister, is ashe, 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 which really means so it shall be.
Yes,
family,
yes.
We have opened up the chat room for you. If you have a comment or a question that you'd like to post there, please feel free to do so now. And also, those of you who would like to be heard, if you have a comment or a question for Sister Danette, we welcome that. You can now push 1, and we will definitely entertain your question or comment. In the meantime, we're going to move forward with this dialogue because, as you can tell, it is one that is most certainly needed, and not only is the dialogue needed, the action, family, is what's needed. That's what we do here at New Day. We talk about topics, we talk about issues, but we also make certain that action is taken. So what I'd like to do is have our sister to tell you where you can go to sign the petition. And, of course, if you have any other kinds of ideas, suggestions of direct action, we certainly would like to hear that, because that is also what we're talking about here at New Day, and that is direct action. That means we will do everything possible to obtain justice. So for those of you who may be saying, well, you know, going to the Justice Department, that's not going to mean anything, that's not going to do anything, that, you know what, for real, every step we take, everything that we do is connected to ultimate victory. So never think that by not doing something or by doing something it's not going to make a difference or whatever. It's not the point. We are a part of a legacy. We are a part of a tradition, and we are obligated to continue to do certain work because somebody in that process is going to learn. So the bottom line is we've got to do something. So if you don't want to sign a petition, we can understand that. We ain't gonna be down with you. Or, you know, we ain't going to be upset with you. But at the same time, we do expect you to do something. And we certainly can give you some idea about what some of that should be or can be. But in the meantime, we're going to have Sister Danette tell you where you can go to obtain the petition, fill it out, pass it along. That's what we also do here. Each one teach one, but also each one pass it along to someone. And let them pass it along to someone, encourage them to do so. So, my sister, by all means, please let our family know where they need to go to get hold of this petition.
Sure. The easiest way is if they Google National Action Against Police Brutality. It will take you directly to where you can sign the petition in less than 2 minutes. Or if you're on Facebook, you can even type in the search bar, National Action Against Police Brutality, and it will also take you to where you can sign a petition in less than 2 minutes. And now we have just under 3,000 signatures, but that's a drop in the bucket when you're talking about national action. We need lots, lots more. You know, the petition is just a piece of paper with some demands on it. The power is, in fact, with the people. It's that that's where the power lies. The names, the signatures are representative of the people. When you sign a petition, you are attesting that you also are demanding action, you know, and the government is supposed to respect that and honor that. You know, they are supposed to. We, the people of this country, we contribute. Lord knows our ancestors have contributed, but people across this nation contributed their finances and their money. The government is required, supposedly, to address what is the will of the people. When you petition the government, you are petitioning them as the will of the people, you know, and they are required to respond to your demand. Okay? Any government, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later down the line, but any government that does not respond to the petition of the people has abdicated its rule and authority over those people. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. And when and if that is the case, what it means is that that same government has no more they have no more right to the wealth of the people. Okay, people talk about boycott. I'll tell you something about a boycott. You really want to withhold money, but I'm not going to do that on this phone here. See, there's a lot of aspects to that petition that I'm not going to get into right now, haven't got into, you know, because we're not that deep into it yet, okay?
Right.
And it's only certain individuals that understand certain things that I will even have that conversation with in the first place. But this is where we're at right now. We need signatures, okay? We need the power of the people behind this petition. And you can find it if you Google it. National Action Against Police Brutality. That's all you have to remember. National Action Against Police Brutality. And it will come up and it will take you directly to where you can sign the petition.
All right. Very good, my sister. What we're going to do before we close this segment out, we're going to bring Dr. Randy Short back in because I know he has some comments. We do have Sister Denise Johnson that is waiting, and of course we're going to talk about her son, who was hung, and we want to, of course, you know, hear more about that, and also the, some of the next step actions that have been being that we're going to do in regards to that. But before we bring Sister Denise in, we're going to go back to Dr. Randy Short, and hear, of course, some comments from our brother in terms of what Sister Denise has just shared with us.
Sister Danette, first time I saw her, she has a lot of power. I didn't talk to her on the phone, but I saw her. She's got a very strong spirit and a charisma that deserves a platform and an audience. And I don't know if I'm being presumptuous, but perhaps you should leave an email on here, if you don't mind that, Sister Chavis,
because
you need to have workers. You need sisters. There are the sisters out here. They've done this. These monsters have killed our kids, and some of the monsters, the blacknecks in our community, we even need to punish them. We need the energy you put out there. You need to be networked. So I'm wondering if you could share your email so you can be united and struggle with other people who feel your passion, understand your mission.
Yes. The email is NAAPB for National Action Against Police Brutality at iCloud.com.
All right. Now, Sister Denise, Sister Danette, we have Sister Denise coming on. Sister Danette, I have a question because we always like to, again, speak truth to power and bring clarity to situations. Have there been any of the so-called civil rights groups who have lent some support to you?
There have been some organizations that have signs a petition, you know, but the support that I was hoping for initially, I would have to say, has been very disappointing. You know, in fact, you know, coming out, I thought that since so many organizations fight against police brutality and say they want to end the police brutality and fighting against justice, I thought that they would, you know, jump on and support it to the hilt and noise it abroad, and we would all, you know, get together and push it. But that mm-hmm. was not the case. That was not the case. There's a lot
Listen,
of...
Please repeat your email when you get a chance. People are telling me that they didn't get your email. I'm sorry. I just want to make certain you get that hook up.
No problem. The email is N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, A as in Apple, P as in Peter, D as in Boy, at iCloud.com. And it's iCloud, Cloud. .com. Yeah, so the support from a lot of organizations, and these are people that have, they have the means and they have
sure.
the resources to
sure.
put that information out there greater than I can. I have limited to no means to do that. Everything
mm-hmm.
I do basically on my own, you know, but I couldn't
mm-hmm.
understand how these organizations, they have the people, they have the resources, you know, they have the know-how to put it out there and let people know about this. And I couldn't understand why there was such hesitancy to do so, particularly when you say that you fight against this and that you want an end to this, you know. And then I discovered what appeared to me that a lot of people who say they want an end to this really don't want an end to this. You know, for some people, believe it or not, it's very beneficial to keep things just as they are. You know, they
sure.
like to do the case-by-case, you know, situation. And believe it or not, there's some organizations that, although they fight for families to get justice and represent
mm-hmm.
families
mm-hmm.
in their fight to get justice, justice
mm-hmm.
is not really what they're after. You know, you can
mm-hmm.
have an organization that is in total opposition to the United States government, okay? They don't like this democracy. They don't like this setup. Maybe they are socialists, and they prefer that. So, therefore,
right.
it would be contrary to their agenda to support a
right.
family's fight in getting justice, because if they support the family's fight in getting justice to the hilt and justice is obtained, then it looks like their ideology does not work. It looks like America is fine just as it is. It comes out. People
mm.
say, well, look, this system
mm.
does
mm.
work. Look, they got justice. And then it makes people not support their agenda and their form of justice. So there are organizations out here who will pair
mm-hmm.
up with a family in their fight for justice. They will march and protest and write your signs and go with you to court. But...
Mm-hmm.
they have no intention on you getting justice. They want
mm.
for you to see that this system doesn't work, and therefore your logical conclusion should be you should now become a communist, or you should now become a socialist. You should become
mm.
whatever it is that they happen to be espousing. So there's all kinds of reasons why people are out here doing the things that they do, and justice is very rarely one of those reasons.
All right. Well, my sister, again, I want to thank you for bringing this information, and as I indicated to you, we invite you to join us on October 25th when we're at the Justice Department. We certainly will give you the opportunity to speak, to share this information. As Dr. Randy Short just indicated, you are certainly a very powerful, passionate speaker, and your message needs to be heard. It needs to be shared. So, again, we extend that invitation to you to share
Thank
with
you.
Us on that day, not only, again, the commemoration of the largest gathering in the world of women anywhere ever. And see, this is the whole point. We want to really show our women as fighters, as mothers, as wives. We want to really represent all across the board and let people see
that now there is a movement for our women. And so, again, we invite you to join what we call Mothers, Daughters, Sisters on the Move. Because
yes.
we have to now represent for ourselves. And as I said to you when we spoke earlier, it doesn't mean that we don't won't have allies. It doesn't mean we won't do things with other, you know, peoples of color. But the African woman, the black woman in this country must now have a clear voice. It must not be just mixed in with everybody else because
yes.
our situation is unique. And we have to represent it in that way. Our ancestors
yes.
are demanding it. So, again, my sister, I truly thank you for the work you're doing, of course, and the continuation of the legacy of your son and in representing us as women, period.
Yes, 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 yes. It's needed and necessary. Us by us. We have to tell a story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, sister, if you can, please stay right there. And I would like for you to meet another sister because that's what we do here at New Day as well and also in terms of the Million Women Movement. We connect the dots. We connect the dots of one another, of each other. And so we're going to bring in now Sister Denise Johnson, who, of course, as I indicated earlier, unfortunately, she too has lost a son. Before we do, we just have, I think, one caller that has a question. I'm sorry, caller, I see you now. We had a few folks that were holding. We lost one or two, but there is still one here. My apologies for that. I'm just seeing it. There is someone that had a question or a comment for you, sister, so I'm going to do that now before we bring in Sister Denise. Caller, you're at 1787. We're going to open up your mic now. Please bear with me because I have so many calls on my board right now that it's kind of stalling. So we're trying to bring you in. So hang on at 1787. We're trying to open up your mic, but it is freezing on us for some strange reason. Again, we have a whole bunch of folk hanging on. We're going to try one more time. We are trying to bring you in, but it's just not turning over. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll try again in a few moments. But in the meantime, let's see if we can do something else real quick. Okay, caller at 1787 was still trying to bring you in. So please bear with us. But you know what, Sister Danette?
Yes.
Please continue for a moment. I'm trying to work my voice to bring in this caller to ask you a question. So if you
yes.
have something else you want to share with us for a few minutes, please feel free to do so.
Well, one of the things I'd like to mention is that a lot of people in other states probably are not aware of it, but here in New York City, the commissioner who has been flooding police in our community and has stopped up to date, at least 5 million people under stop and frisk has been recently nominated to head Homeland Security as its
wow.
secretary. So that should be a harbinger of things to come as far as what this entire country itself is going to be facing from the police. If you live outside of New York, you might not know how grave this situation is, but I can tell you it is a very dire situation. If he is allowed to become the Secretary of Homeland Security, we are in deeper trouble than we could ever really imagine. From there, he will have all the resources of the government available at his feet, you know, and there will be stiffer controls and security measures and stop points and checks like people have never imagined. And white America is going to be in for a rude awakening because they have ignored the situation because they felt it was mainly blacks and people of color, you know, just our issue. And they think that they're going to be far removed from it, and that is not the case, not at all. Already we are seeing how this is branching out to people of all types of nationalities.
Wow. Well, you know, we knew that when they started passing these bills that
It was no longer a law where they had to release you after holding you for 72 hours. Now they can hold you indefinitely and do not have to give you legal representation. So we knew that when those kinds of things start going into effect, that other things would soon be coming thereafter, and as you're indicating, it is coming. Caller at 1-787. I'm not sure why I can't bring you in, but I'm going to continue to try, so please know that I am trying. But in the meantime, I'm going to bring in Sister Denise Johnson, who's been waiting. I don't want to keep her waiting any longer. And caller at 1-787. I'm going to still try, and if when I do, I'm going to let you know, but for some reason, it's frozen. But at any rate, I'm going to bring in Sister Denise, hopefully. Wow, looks like we're having some problems there, too. Good gracious. Sister Denise, are you there? Nope.
No, that's me.
Okay, yep. For some reason, I'm having some problems. Sister Denise, I see you. This is what I need you to do, though. Just hopefully this will work. I need you to hang up and call back in. And press 1 again, and I'll see you. But I'm pushing the buttons here, and it's not allowing me to access you in. It was the same thing with the other caller I was trying to get in to talk with Sister Danette. So there's something definitely going on with my Boris family, and you all know how that works. Unfortunately, this is one of those nights that it is happening because all of my boards are lit up. I mean, you know, so sometimes that does happen when you have a lot of callers. In the meantime, Sister Denise, please hang up and try to call back in, and then hopefully we can access you from there. But unfortunately, at this point, the boards are frozen. There's so many callers, my boards are frozen. And that's a good, in a way, it's a good thing because we have, you know, we have a lot of people listening right now, okay? So in one way, it's a very good thing, but unfortunately, technology has said, whoa, what y'all doing? So we do, we're gonna keep you on, Sister Danette, and hopefully, again, we can bring in, I'm gonna try this. It's not even letting me disconnect them. I tried to see if I could disconnect them, and it's not even doing that. Wow. Okay, that's all right. We're going to continue. Sister Denise, I'm trying to get to you. We're working on it here to see how we can pull this off. If we don't get you on tonight, we will definitely get you on, but we're working on it. So, Dr. Randy Clark, let me throw the ball back to you for a moment while we try to work on some of these little technical difficulties here. And with Sister Danette, the other thing I just wanted to point out was, of course, that you talked about the lawsuit, you know, that of course they ruled in favor of the enemy. Are there any other recourses legally or so-called legally that could happen? I'm not sure about New York's law, but here in Philadelphia, what has happened in the past is that when a suit went forward and there was no result in trying to get the actual police department, what ended up happening was a suit was literally filed against that officer. So I'm not sure how that works in New York.
Well, there in most cases in New York, that's what happens. Well, initially, the first thing that happens is there's a demand for charges against the officer who actually committed the murder. And then after that is a civil suit, you know, for damages. So
okay.
That
even
if an officer is found not guilty, the family still has an option for a civil suit. Okay? In my case, that would not apply to me. You know, because the officer did not directly shoot him, although they are responsible for his death. And my case went straight to federal court as a civil rights violation because they failed to get him medical attention, which was due him, that they were required to do. So my case was a little bit different. But normally, in a majority of cases, that's what happens. There's a demand for charges to be filed against the officer who murders a child, followed by a civil suit for monetary damages, you know,
okay,
and things like that.
Okay, hold that point right there, my sister. I think we have Sister Denise Johnson. I think we finally was able to clear up our queue a bit. Sister Denise, do we have you on this line?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. Okay, very good. See, I tell you, persistence does, in fact, work sometimes. We were struggling to get you on, sis, but we got you now. Yes, welcome, welcome to this segment of New Day. Joining us, of course, you've probably been hearing some of what we've been talking about leading up to you. Of course, we've been talking with Sister Danette Chavis, and she's still on the line with us. And we still also have Duranzi Short with us as well. But, you know, we want to now, of course, have you to meet our family. As I indicated to Sister Danette, our family listening audience is, in fact, people who tend to be very motivated and very much, you know, wanting to hear and to help. So, you know, I'd like to offer this time for you, of course, to provide the information. Some of what you shared with me today, of course, you know, I'm like, I've got to get you on, you know, tonight, because this is a process. With you, with Sister Danette, this is a process. We have to put these pieces together and get it ready, because we're going to expose these people. But as everyone knows, that's work. So we're going to begin now as far as with New Day, the Men and Women Movement, our brothers in support. We begin this process now. So, family, I'd like for you all to meet Sister Denise Johnson, and she is now going to share with us what has happened with her family and what is happening with us and how it affects us, of course. But we want to give the mic to her now. So, Sister Denise, please, by all means, share with us what you would like to share with us.
On November 22nd, 2008, my son, Gregory Johnson Jr., was murdered in the Sigma Chi fraternity house. He was a student. He was a junior. His major was kinesiology. He was going to be a sports medicine doctor. And he was brilliant. On November 22nd at 9:30 p.m., 8 hours after he had been murdered, three police officers and a chaplain came to my home in Clear Lake, California, Clear Lake police officers, and where I was 3 hours away from where he was, and told me that my son had committed suicide by hanging, by ligature hanging. Immediately, I got a card from the officer, and I called the Santa Clara County Coroner's Office and spoke to Claudine and asked to see my son's body, because I thought they had made a mistake. I thought this was some kind of awful mistake, but I knew that if they said that he was dead by suicide, I knew that that was wrong. I knew that they had made – I definitely knew that was a mistake. Claudine told me and my son, who lived an hour closer, that we could not view his body, that the body had been sealed already. It took me 13 days to get his body back to Clear Lake. I had to raise the funds to have the mortician here go down there and pick his body up, and that wasn't cheap. I had to raise the money to do that, and they wouldn't do it for less than $5,000. Okay, I didn't have this money at hand laying around, and when I got his body here, I told my husband, I said, we're going in there with cameras, because I did not have the money to pay a pathologist to come look at. That was another $3,000 to pay a pathologist to come look at his body. I didn't have the money, and I went to the funeral home and took pictures. My son had a 6-inch crack in the back of his head that was losing brain matter. You could see it in the close-up pictures. He and his neck was broken. I recently was talking to someone that knew about these kind of wounds, because I had a pathologist analyst, Dr. Posey, and his analyst look at the pictures, and the analyst told me it was blunt force trauma to the back of his head. Okay, and recently I found out how his neck was broken. Someone took a pipe or a baton or a paddle board, something with a corner on it, and they hit him in the back of his neck, and they severed his spine all the way through to make sure he was dead. This has been, I went and I filed, first of all, I like to say this has been, this is what they called suicide. This is what they told me. He had no marks, no ligature wounds, although the trumped up autopsy said that he had half inch grooves, 16 and 17 inches long on his neck. That was non-existent. He had no indication that he had ever hung, but he had been cracked in the head to his skull cracked, and he had been hit in his neck to make sure he was dead. It's called a kill shot. That's what it's called, a kill shot. They made sure he was dead. I have been fighting this for 5 years. This case was investigated by the FBI and sent all the way from San Francisco, California, to Washington, D.C., to Eric Holden's office. And that's where it stopped. Eric Holden got this case sitting on his desk or in the garbage can or somewhere. And that's where it stopped. I filed a FOIA to get under the Freedom of Information Act to get, because I have no police reports. I have 63 pages of a trumped up, pieced in, redacted report by the campus police. Okay.
Right.
And I have no, the special agent Kozant told me that the reports were 300 pages long. I have 63 pages of nothing. They refused to give me autopsy pictures. Okay, I took the pictures myself. That's why I know the truth. All right. They told me in the FOIA, when they answered the FOIA, which they took their time about it because they were trying to convince me there's a statute of limitations on murder, which there is not. They were taking their time because they hoped that I would give up on my own child. They said that the reason I could not get any information, this is the FBI, said that the reason, the Department of Justice, Washington, D.C., said the reason I can't get any information on the murder of my child, okay, is because it's a matter of national security.
Wow.
Wow. You took it right out of my mouth. Unbelievable.
They talk about our children. They say they don't do nothing but stand on the street corners and sell drugs. I don't care who our children are. Our children have the right to live.
That's right.
I don't care who they are.
That's
and I'm not trying
right.
to pretend like my son was something special or anything like that, but he had a right to live.
That's
now, I'm
right.
going to tell you, if our children can't walk down the street like Trayvon Martin, and if you can't register them in college and have them exceed, they fit me, I have it on his website. They had to send me a posthumous degree because my son was that close to graduation. He was brilliant. And they snuffed him like he was a dog. And then they laughed at me and told me, well, you can't have anything because it's a matter of national security. My life has been threatened, but I don't care. When your children start to die before you, what do you have to live for? What do you have? If we can't send our children to school, well, where can we send them?
That's exactly right.
And, you know, Sister Johnson, and I can't say this enough, that Eric Holder has presided in that Justice Department over more murders of innocent black folks than any other attorney general in the history of this country, except for during Reconstruction time. This is almost as bad as it was 150 years ago, just under 150 years ago. And so there are a lot of people who may not like what you're doing, Ms. Johnson and Ms. Chavis, But, you know, I'm really disgusted with African-American people and their demonic worship of Obama and their demonic worship of Eric Holder. I couldn't give two damns if the person was as black as a skillet or tire if they don't deliver anything to us. And I don't care who in the audience says, well, he's prison for all of America. Well, all of the pedophile, rapist, racist presidents, that was always the excuse to deny black people their human rights. And now we've got 2 million Negroes with degrees in this country that can justify us being killed, and a black attorney general and a black president don't do anything about it. That's stupid. That's not an opinion. You know, I am so angry that this is happening, and I know other people, other folks all over the country who are being killed and for being shot. There is a man that I should introduce you to, Philae. Someone came, the police came to his house and just began shooting him. And he didn't file charges, and then the police filed charges. He attacked them as they shot him in his house. This all started with this. This is why what Sister Chavis was saying about justice and what we're fighting for, the socialists and all these other people out there for what they're out there for. If we're not out
right.
there for ourselves, then we're damned.
Right.
And all this celebration about a black man being in the White House, I need to let people know that when they had this march on Washington, this little anniversary with Reverend Al Sharpton on the 24th of August, they need to know that 199 years ago, black people burned the damn White House down because they had sense. We stood up venerating it. Folks don't know that black babies died in the basement of the White House, that they raped black women in the White House. My grandmother worked in the White House harassing folks and abusing people. So all this fascination with being included, I'm sorry, you can't fit into a burning house. You know, if you've got, you know what the Vietnamese used to do during the Vietnam War is they'd get prostitutes and they'd put a razor blade in their private part, and then they'd offer themselves to American GIs, and these guys would get the you-know-what's cut. That is what we're doing when we try to get too close to the other folks. We're putting ourselves out there to get sliced. And we've really, the last 5 years, Negroes have been trying to commit psychological suicide. To think that somebody that lives in a plantation house, they called it the executive mansion, all the way up until Booker T. Washington went to have dinner with President Theodore Roosevelt. They were so angry that this guy had a black person in for dinner, that's when they start calling it the White House, to remind us we don't belong there. And here we are running around calling it the White House, not knowing why it's called the White House, and we don't call it the executive. We're stupid. And our ancestors that burned that MF, and people in my family, I think, did it, because they're folk all around the area. They don't tell you that black folk joined the British Army and burnt this mother down. And almost did it in 1968. They should have finished. All this romanticization of Americanism, which is based on slavery and genocide. I don't care. And what's his name? Ofaga? Yeah, I called him that. Ofaga ain't done nothing for us. I mean, we need to get over Ofaga. Unstuck, insane Ofaga has done nothing, and his wife, she sat up and let people bleed to death at the hospital that she worked in Chicago. Don't let Michelle fool you. A lot of black women are silly. Strong black woman for what she wants. Her raise, her $317,000 salary, was because she sent black folks to die at other hospitals that were shot or injured just blocks from where she worked. Both of them are cutthroat. And Eric Holder is a descendant of what are called browns down in Barbados, light-skinned blacks who identified as whites who oppressed the darker-skinned folks. So I never expected justice from these people. We need to grow up. We need to start looking at these people. They have no track record. And you know what? Before I'm done, watch the fake black-neck Negroes in New York line up and give Chief Kelly a bill of health. He even had a spy down at the University of Maryland spying on black activist groups, okay? In fact, I ran into the young man at the UN the day I met you, Sister Phile. His father is running for some office in New York City. The family's from Ghana or Nigeria, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
to show you. So he had someone down there spying on the black students, getting information. So what Sister Chavis told us about, it's a harbinger for the future. Before he even gets to Washington, he's got folks spying, have folks jailed down here before he got the job. That's real talk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. The Attorney General cannot sit up in office and play possum, and he got cases of people that have been outright murdered by police, and the evidence is there, and you got the case on your desk, and you're not even acknowledging it. No, that has to be addressed. Those things have to be called out because people are not aware of this, and they need to be informed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They need to be. And, you know, Eric Holder, he's a criminal. He's a criminal. He's an accessory to fraud. His wife, they changed it recently, but his wife, I think the guy's name is Dr. Malloy or whatever, it's down in Atlanta. There was an abortion clinic that killed babies. I'm talking about full-term babies, 9 months. You know, the baby's like playing with the toy. You still do like the guy's nail on him. Eric Holder's wife was a co-business owner to a man who stole $400,000 in overbilling from the government for late-term abortions down in Atlanta. And Eric Holder's wife probably does abortions for white women up on Foxhall in the rich section where black people can't live in D.C. She can pass for white, by the way. And so killing black folks is making good money for him. Before he became Attorney General, he worked for Covington and Burling, the law firm, and his job was getting companies off that murdered black people in the third world. He got Chiquita Brands off for massacring black people in Colombia, South America. Colombia is 50% black in population. So they knew they could trust Eric Holder to kill and look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
That's his
mm-hmm.
career. When he was in charge of he was like the Attorney General or Assistant Attorney General for D.C., black folks for jaywalking were getting federal time. This is what Eric Holder did to thousands of black men here in D.C. So he can't do anything for me. In fact, Dr. King needs to lend him his balcony as far as I'm concerned.
And with all of that, how many of our people are aware of all of those things that were done?
They know now.
You know, see, for me, the issue is not so much into, you know, convincing Eric Holder or anybody of anything, but of exposing the matter for our people's education so that they can see what it is, so that they can see past the lies and the hype and the things that have been told. You know, I don't want anybody to have a devastating experience and have to go through this process to really find out what's good with this country. I don't. You know, I want for the things to be exposed, and I believe in going forward with it, you know, and revealing the case after case after case, you know, of unadjudicated justice, of people who have the authority and the power to act, who sit and do nothing, should open people's eyes to what's really good with this country. The same way in Trayvon Martin's case, when they found out that this Zimmerman was allowed to kill an unarmed Trayvon Martin and go home, not even be tested for gun residue or any kind of investigation, but allowed to go home with any charges. You know, people began to say, well, why isn't this man being charged? And began to demand it. You know, when you give people the right information, I believe it prompts certain actions from them. You know, and I believe in the power of the people. We've just seen that, even in the Trayvon Martin case. You know, but I'm afraid that whereas the focus is on Trayvon Martin, and I hope and pray that his family gets justice, there have been countless Trayvon Martins who have been killed at the hands of police who to date have not gotten justice. So while they're over there hollering at the Department of Justice and planning for this march on Washington, you know, on behalf of Trayvon Martin, we ought to have been included in that number. because there were countless Trayvon Martins killed at the hands of police before we even knew about a Trayvon Martin. So if the majority of the people banded together can call the Department of Justice from out of Washington and make them go down to Florida on behalf of one, we ought to be the same, be able to do the same thing on the behalf of the thousands who have been killed
exactly.
by police.
And that is
that's
why.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons why we are doing what we're doing on October the 25th, because, see, we're not looking for any kind of corporate partnerships. We're not looking for any political, positions, none of that. The history of the Men and Women March has never been connected with anything like that, and we've certainly been offered it, and we certainly could have done it. But when it was given in a very specific way, and I've maintained that position. So, you know, the fact of the matter is this is what it is that we are going to do, and that is to make certain that the voices of the mothers, of the families, of the communities who it has fallen on deaf ears, their voices have just not been heard or mm-hmm. have been pushed to the side. We want to make sure that they have their day. If not in court, this process is going to begin and they're going to be heard. We're going to make sure that they're going to be heard. This is what the Men and Women March did in the first place. We went into the communities and organized. It wasn't done in nobody's boardroom. It wasn't done in any high echelon, whatever. We went in the hood and organized, and then things evolved and it reached to everyone. But we made certain that any sister had the opportunity to come and sit at any table at any time, as long as she was coming with goodwill and good intent. Unfortunately, however, that didn't work out too well because spies were sent in, opportunists came in, other fake and phony folks. And so, again, it took us a little longer to do the moves that we really wanted to do because we had to clean house. Because we had been co-opted and infiltrated. But fortunately, now we've persevered and we can begin to do the work that we started, but now to move forward expeditiously. And this is why, again, our statement on the day of our anniversary is we're coming. We're coming. You can't buy us, you see. So what you just said, sister, is exactly what we're doing, meaning we put this call out to all of our people. And what we're saying is if this has happened to you or someone that you know, you need to be there on October 25th. You need to get with us before then so that we can help prepare because we need to prepare the briefs, the preliminary briefs. And that's the other thing. Any of you that have any legal background, it could be paralegal, it could be you're a student, whatever. We need some help in putting these papers, some of this paperwork together because it's a tedious process. We want it done right.
Right.
So we do need folks to help us do it. And, again, we don't get corporate sponsoring. We don't get no sponsoring, really, but definitely not corporate sponsoring. So it's really going to be a process that the people help to manifest. Now, what I'd like to do is bring Sister Johnson back in. Sister Johnson, now we've talked, of course, with Sister Danette, and she's indicated that there's a petition that is circulated. We've conveyed that to our family. What now is your plan of action, or what would you like for your plan of action to be? What can we help with at this point as we prepare for October?
I would like to just get the word out what happened to him because still a lot of people do not know. I try to post a lot of things on the internet like Facebook and when this first happened and it was blocked, it took a long time for me to even post articles because they did not want the story told. And then they certainly didn't want to tell how he died, how they massacred him in that house. You know, they didn't want that told. And I would like this to be told. This story needs to be told because we think that our children are safe when they go to school.
You've got a book, Sister Johnson, that people can read. You need to give them links. Forgive me for interrupting, but I want to make certain that people have access. You have a book. You've got and that email, please. This is a chance to have hundreds of people, and maybe two or three. Your committee will show up on the East Coast, wherever we are. Please share that. I'm sorry for interrupting, but
I don't have a book, but I do have a website. If you cannot get through, it's called Strange Fruit, STRANGE, Fruit, FRUIT, at ATSigmaSigmaChi.com. StrangeFruit@SigmaChi.com. If you cannot get through, this is another way, because they're messing with it, and I know it. I usually can pull it up, but people are telling me they can't get through to that site. If you Google his name, Gregory Johnson Jr., SJSU, there are a host of articles. There's so many.
Okay.
I counted over 20 articles on the internet.
Okay.
Gregory Johnson Jr., SJSU, or StrangeFruit@SigmaChi.com.
Okay.
Let me say
say it's ironic that me and Denise are on the same program, and my son's name was also Gregory.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see, that's, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times when we do this work, we get kind of confirmation that we're on
mm-hmm.
the right track.
Yes.
It's like the last program that we had a few days ago, and I think you heard that one, Sister
mm-hmm.
Jeanette, we had Dr. John Johnson on.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight we had
mm-hmm.
Sister Denise Johnson on. And, of course, you know, we talked about the connection with Sister Lavina Johnson, who was murdered and raped, that her
mm-hmm.
Earth Day is the same day as Queen Mother Moore.
Wow.
You see? And for those of us who know the history of Queen Mother Moore, one of the reasons why we're able to go to the Justice Department on October the 25th and charge genocide is because of some of the work of Queen Mother Moore, see?
Mm-hmm.
So this is all connected in many, many ways, and we're seeing the manifestation of how it's being connected. So it's a divine situation. It is quite obvious that it is. But let me also
mm-hmm.
say this to all of you. Now, Dr. Randy Short and I have talked on numerous occasions, and one of the things that MWM has been working on is putting together a speakers bureau. We're in the process of bringing Dr. John Johnson to Philadelphia and also in a few other cities, particularly with some of the black veterans hosting him. But we also have a component that is of our sisters and also of our brothers, and we're getting it ready for October, but that's going to be an ongoing catalyst, an ongoing entity under the MWM umbrella. So what I'm saying to you, sisters, are this. To get this information circulated, because, again, October is just a starting point. We have to make certain that we're still consistent and moving forward. So what I'm suggesting to both of you is that we need to get your bio. We need to get your information. If you're interested in perhaps going to different locations to speak, one of the things that the Million Woman Movement has put together is something that we call the Million Woman Media Marketing, Merchandising, and Manufacturing Components.
Mm-hmm.
So the media and marketing divisions will be able to assist in getting our people's information circulated more readily.
Okay,
this is why we have this radio program and why we have a few others. We've put a few of them on hiatus because we had some very serious things that we needed to restructure. We're hoping that if not by October, soon thereafter, we'll be able to start doing some video streaming for our broadcast. This is one of the things
mm-hmm.
we've been working on as well. So we're on the move, as they say, and again, I want to put that out there to both of you that even in this process, if there are articles that you all have that you want published, that you want circulated, Again, I heard Sister Johnson talk about that there are articles out there, but I think it's also important that your voices, that you, Sister Danette, and you, Sister Denise, your voices need to be heard. So again, for October, we plan to put out our Amandala publication. And we do it every year. And certainly this year is going to be really important because we call this Sweet 16. And I'm saying that your article can, or your commentary or what have you, can be featured.
Okay. And
Dr. Randy Short, of course, is an excellent writer. So I'm sure he will be willing to assist as well in addition to writing something.
Yes. Well, you know, I do a lot of writing and commentary on Facebook. You know, I have two, I have an events page for National Action, and I have a separate page for National Action. We have
wonderful
videos, pics, commentaries, all of that all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Very
and
good.
And I also post a lot of information on my Facebook page. And I have
very
a memorial good. Page for Gregory Johnson Jr. called Junior's Memory. And
okay.
I also worked with Lawless America and with Bill Windsor. And I went to Washington, D.C. last year and walked
mm-hmm.
the halls of Congress telling who would ever listen, as many Congress people as I could get to, and to Diane, to Senator Dianne Feinstein's office,
mm-hmm.
telling
mm-hmm.
Gregory's story.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we need to get ready to give them a preview of what's coming in October. Every year, the Congressional Black Caucus has their annual conference or whatever it's called. I forget what it's actually called. But every year in September,
it's called the Brain Trust.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
It's the Congressional Black Caucus Brain Trust.
Okay, so we need to get prepared. Yes, we need to get prepared even for that, to give them a little preview, to put them on notice and let them know that by October 25th, they need to be making some statements or saying something about
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I hear you.
Absolutely. So we're setting up some timetables here. And family, the rest of you, please know that in order for us to put this publication out, we're going to need your ads. You know, see, we're not beggars on this end. You don't hear us begging people to send money in and all of that. We like to get your membership, your support membership, but the other way that you can help and support is if you have a business, an organization, or you just want to say congratulations, best wishes, or whatever. The publication is coming out in October. We're going to tell you more about that on the next program, because we'd love for you to support that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're providing a service. We're not asking you to just, you know, do something. We want to provide a service. That publication will give everyone exposure as well as create an excellent network system. So, you know, let's do this. Let's do what we know we're supposed to do. Okay, we're in good timing here. Wonderful, wonderful. So let me now also go back to Sister Denise. What about a petition? As you just heard, Sister Danette does have a petition. Have you done one yet, or are you interested in doing one?
Yes, I am. There, one was done on my son's behalf, and it was regarding botched autopsies, and it was a letter to Nancy Pelosi. I think if you look on the website under Nancy Pelosi, there wasn't a lot of turnout, you know, insofar as signatures are concerned. And
right.
I wouldn't be surprised even if that was blocked. But, yes, I am interested in doing a petition.
Okay, great, great. Okay, then we will begin to look at that as well. All right.
There is also on YouTube, if you look under Murder at Sigma Chi, there's an interview I did with Lawless America in front of the house that they're having renovated that he was murdered in.
Wow.
So Murder at Sigma Chi. Okay.
Yeah. So that's on YouTube.
Okay.
And there, and the it wasn't an affidavit, but it was my statement to Congress is on there under Denise Johnson with Lawless America.
Okay.
So I tried to put it out as much as I possibly could.
Sure.
Because this kind of thing, every time I talk about it, it's like it happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just to kind of interject something, because I need to add this in. This is in reference to something that happened here in Philadelphia today. There was a community meeting here in Philadelphia, and that particular meeting focused on, those of you who tuned in to our last program, our special edition, we talked about a topic that is really getting a lot of response, and that is rape and molestation and other types of sexual assault and so forth in our community, in the Black community, in the African community, and particularly in the what we call the conscious and the spiritual communities within the Black community and the African community. So today there was, in fact, a community meeting, and I'd like to just take this time just to give you a little briefing on that because it went very, very well. And I'm saying this because as we are preparing for the bringing forward of these cases and of these complaints, I want to share with everyone how things can, in fact, happen, because today, for the first time, a community meeting that entailed all religions within our community, political, even a couple of politicians came by, which was real funny to me. They came in for a photo op and they left right out, but still. But primarily it was the community, and they focused specifically on actual cases in our community here in Philadelphia that was of rape, exploitation, molestation, and so forth. That's the first time that that's been done without so-called authorities. This was done by the community. So I'm saying that to say that we have the capability to handle our own business.
Yes.
Okay, we saw that demonstrated today. We can do this. We can do this in such a way that we know what needs to get done. We know that we can do it, and we know that we have to take this into other courts. That is absolutely a must. So I cannot reiterate that enough. I know all of you agree, but I, again, just want to make sure people understand the direction that we're going with this. This is not just the business-as-usual kind of stuff. We're going to do some of the fundamentals, which are the petitions, which are the letters of complaint, and so forth and so on. But at some point, that data, that information is going to be sent into some other arenas. So we're letting people know that's how serious this is really going to be. So again, for those of you who may have experienced something where there was a violation by this government specifically, we want your information. We want to assist in whatever way possible to get your information structured so that it can be presented in a way that is consistent, that it's clear, and that, you know, it's going to kick their behinds, put it simply. Okay. Okay, family, those of you who have questions or comments, I think we might be able to entertain some of that now. It seems like our boards have been cleared. We're not seeing the congestion that we were seeing a little while ago. We still have a lot of callers, but we're not experiencing the craziness that we were experiencing. So if you do have a question or a comment for Dr. Randy Short or for Sister Danette or for Sister Denise, we certainly invite you to push one now. We also do have the chat room open, so you can, of course, go there if you like. But we certainly welcome your comments right about now. And before we do that, we just want to announce, since this is Black August, and with that, we are committed to making certain that we convey information about our political prisoners. Someone was kind enough to remind us in a text that tomorrow, Sunday, August the 4th, the Last Poets will be here in Philadelphia in support of Brother Russell Maroon Schultz. And for those who are not familiar with him,
We will be talking about his case very, very soon. I believe he is the longest person that has been in solitary confinement, especially in Pennsylvania, but it may be period. But anyway, tomorrow at 8 p.m. here in Philadelphia at a place called the Blockley, which is at 38th and Chestnut Street. The cost is only $12. Now, you all know the last part. Come on. If you want more information, you can go to the website at www.theblockley.com, which is spelled the, T-H-E. Blockley is spelled B-L-O-C-K-L-E-Y.com. It's here in Philadelphia again at 8 o'clock p.m. Next week for Black August, we'll be talking about Dr. Matula Shakur and, of course, Mumia Abu-Jamal. We'll give you more information on that. And we have some other reports on prisons as well. But let's go back to our topic for tonight. Again, we're talking about two young black men who were murdered. No question about it. One situation, we're talking about neglect. We're talking about not just neglect. We're talking about blatant, straight up neglect. Doesn't even come close. But I just can't even think of another word at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then in another situation, we're talking about straight up just outright murder, plain and simple. So these are some of the things that we're facing, family. And what we're saying is, and as Sister Jeanette has indicated, these things are happening more than you think, because there's many cases you have not heard about and will not hear about. Plain in case, shortly after the Trayvon Martin murder, there was another young black man in, I believe, Florida, who was playing radio or something like that, and this white man in a car was saying something about, you know, turn your music down or whatever, and some words, and he ended up shooting him. Killing him.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't hear much about that at all. Another case in point, a few years now, it's been 2 years, that Rokia Boyd. She, about 60 other young folks in Chicago in a park, just talking, you know, it's a nice night. Cop, off-duty cop in his car, you know, want to know what y'all doing, why you here, whatever. Young brother says something to him, he shoots in the crowd. Shoots Rokia in the head. And like you said, Sister Jeanette, they put him on a desk job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, again, we hear of these things over and over. And let us not forget the elder in Atlanta who was killed by the cops. After
the
they went in her house supposedly looking for a warrant. Right. Right. There were no big rallies for none of these cases that I'm talking about. No big rally. But see, people decide that it's a political move, and so they'll select something and put some hype on it. Now, remember, in the case of the Jenna 6, we had all this hoopla over a symbolic noose. So now, we're literally talking about our children that are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the energy, this energy for that? This is not symbolic. Well, it is, but this is not just something put out there that you can look at. This is something that, these are things we're talking about that have actually happened and lives have been taken. So, family, what I'm saying is if we can, you know, do all of this, many went down to Louisiana for Gen 6 to demonstrate a protest about a noose. Certainly, we can do more than that when we have lives that have actually been taken. We're going to go to our live line now, and we have a question or a comment coming in. So let's see. You are at 7940, caller. Oh, yeah, our boards are working pretty good. 7940, you're on.
Yes, greetings, everyone. I was listening to what was said. And I'm thinking that until we get to the root of evil and know that this is a white supremacist plot against humanity, and know that they are doing these things deliberately as another form of lynching us not from trees with ropes, but now with weaponry, and that we need to stop them from doing the things that they are doing to us by sticking up and standing up and resisting them, and knowing that we must do things in a positive way, and by allowing ourselves to come together and know that it don't take one person, child, to be our own child to be murdered in order for us to feel our pain, because it's not just the pain of the parent, but it's pain of us in general, because this is another form of eugenic genocide on our people, because these Caucasians know that time is up, and they know it's less of them. And like Dr. Francis Cresswell said, they are fighting for genetic survival and not going being annihilated. And they would do anything, because they know it's more people on the planet that has melanin in their skin than they are. And you got to look at it. Why is a small group of these white creatures able to use this, create a legal system and use it on us? And we just think that, okay, we made it in Hollywood. We made it in different parts of our lives as it being a successful life for us. We have a car. We have a credit card. We have this that they got. We got from them, their system. So I'm saying that when we go come together and build up a strong system within ourselves, to let them know that we don't need to be patronizing with your system if you're going to continue to kill our people and do these types of things. And I respect the part where our people knew they was the same dirty ones lynching us then, they the same dirty ones now. They have not changed. They just changed their style, but in general, they have not changed. And I would like Randy Shore to call me at 510-253-7940, because I had the opportunity to meet with Mayor Lumumba, and I decided not just to make this a targeted individual issue, but all human rights issue, and we're setting up a conference event in the month of February in Jackson, Mississippi. And we're going to be talking about all these different things, right along with the electronic assault that many of us go through in general, because I'm thinking about my people. And I really appreciate Empress Chi and other all the black people that come, our Aboriginal people come together. And I'm even appreciative when Sister Chi, when I got with her, she said, no, let's be specific about who are we talking about, because Asian, Mexicans, all of the different other ones have melanin in their skin. But be specific on who you're talking about, the Aboriginal people. I'm interested in helping my people. I'm not interested in helping other people, because everybody have something that they got together to help their people. No, we don't have no support system. We do, but it's limited to a few. Empress Chi is doing her job, Randy Shore. I'm doing my job. But we need more of us to step up to the plate and stop these things so it won't happen, continue to happen over and over and over to our future generations. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, thank you, sister. And I'm sure that our family has a response for you. So, Sister Danette or Sister Denise or Brother Randy, if you'd like to respond to my sister, I believe that was Sister Amy. If you have a response for her, please feel free to bring it on.
Well, no. It would be helpful. I'm sitting here typing, so I didn't write the number down, but
email
me. Okay, well, share that with me, Aunt, because that's also something I can lean on Reverend Pinckney, because the targeted individuals, all of that needs to
be done. I was going to say that it is eugenics. I'm in 100% agreement, but I need to say we're still being lynched. We need to remember that Anthony Cody Ingham was lynched down in Athens, Texas on, I believe, the 13th or the 16th
right.
Of July in Athens, Texas. And that there have been several lynchings in Texas, and it was ruled a suicide. He's hung from a tree, and I've been following lynchings off and on. In fact, the head of the NAACP in Mississippi, as well as the head of the Nation of Islam, husband and wife team, they killed their son Andre back in the 90s, hung him in prison. There was a man hung in Springfield, Missouri, who's a Kenyan named Gikenya. He's Kikuyu. Hung from 70 feet off the ground. They said it was a suicide. So lynching has never stopped. Lynchings occur in the D.C. area. Lynchings occur in Delaware. They occur in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And that whole thing about the, when you mentioned the Gina Six, Gina Six was in reality a fraud for the NAACP and Al Sharpton and the Boulé. To show that things were going to change with Obama, and that made everybody feel like if we just march like we used to. In fact, the Color of Change, another Jewish controlled organization, where I know because I tried to help a sister many years ago. There was a young woman down in the Booth Hill of Missouri who had a disagreement with a white woman at a Walmart, and they're going to put her in jail for 20 years for arguing with the policeman. And the Color of Change wouldn't even help. No woman was in college. Only thing she had was a speeding ticket once. And they're looking to put her in jail 10, 20 years for having a disagreement with a police officer who happened to stalk the girl's mother and hand her a KKK calling card. And the ACLU, another Jewish organization, everybody ran from this family. And so when we start talking about, when you see Gina Six, remember Boy Jealous, Ben Jealous, they call him Boy Sellers. Remember a black man got shot at church, they executed him, and initially he went after police brutality, and all of a sudden it fizzled out? Because I know something about Boy Sellers. Boy Sellers used to be an advocate against police brutality for Amnesty International when he needed to do that. And so he got some credentials for being civil rights oriented, all right? But once he got in the NAACP, either somebody tapped him on his shoulder or his booty, you know, his brother's gay, whatever it was, and all of a sudden he's been afraid of everything except for to get that direct deposit in his account. When the NAACP and all these other people, I'm being honest. I mean, I know sometimes meet and see these people. When you're in here in D.C. with all the pedophiles, if you're familiar with the Franklin scandal, where all your congressmen and senators rape little girls and boys brought in from Boys Town, oh, this is real. This is real talk. They're all freaks here. I live here. It's full of freaks. And I don't respect them. So, I'm just being honest, okay? If you want to know why Adam Clayton Powell was so effective as a congressman, he knew about all the kids that people were sleeping with. That's why all this legislation got through. That's how you get stuff through. See, someone speak up to me and tell me, I'm going to tell your wife about the little kid I saw you with. Oh, I'll sign you real dead. Okay, now I'm just trying to tell you that's how perverse. We have a wicked system. But I want to mention something, because when you said, Sister Empress, about that lynching news.
We have 1 minute left, so we're going to have to wrap it up. Go ahead, brother.
Rodney King got beat and became a millionaire, but it's because his case went to the international arena. To hell with the white man's court in this country. We need to put white folk on trial and further the other 97% of humanity that doesn't like them anyway.
That's right. Well, with that said, family, we have come to another segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in, and certainly for our folks who are on the hotline. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, same place. We've been talking with Dr. Randy Short, of course, Sister Danette Chavis, and also Sister Denise Johnson. We're going to be back again talking about more of all of these cases tonight and then some. But for now, unfortunately, we've run out of time,
And again, we thank all of you. We're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is, of course, in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there could be no real peace, which is Hotep. There could be no real Hotep until there's truly Ma'at, meaning justice. But also remember, Ma'at also means balance, reciprocity, and also truth. But our major focus, this journey, is justice. Till next time, family. Tutanana, promote to the Shinda, and remember, we shall win. Love you all. Brother Randy, talk to you soon. Sister Danette, thank you so much, and Sister Denise,
you
as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna go to the hospital.